Dear sisters and brothers, here we are in a chilly place to sing and pray together and give thanks to God and to listen to His word. And we find God's word in a book. Some call it the Holy Book, the Holy Bible. And it is amazing, the Bible. Some parts of it are over 3,000 years old. I don't think we have any older books in our shelves at home. It is the oldest book that is still read by so many people. It has been translated in more languages than any other book. The New Testament alone exists in 1,600 languages, as I read. And the complete Bible in more than 700 languages. And it is still being translated every year in other languages. The Bible was printed and sold more often than any other book in history. And it is still the world's number one bestseller. And the Bible is many things, but it is certainly a wonderful collection of wonderful stories. We all know the story of creation, how heaven and earth were made, the story how evil came upon humans and how they were punished. The story or history of the people of Israel. But above all, the whole Bible tells the story of the discovery of God. Who is God? Where do we find God? Can we see God? How does God reveal Himself to us humans? We find elements of this story throughout the whole Bible, because at different times and in different situations, people discovered God in different ways. And what is written in the Bible helps us discover God today in our own lives and in our own situation. So I will read again some of the words from the Bible which we heard from the book of Exodus in chapter 33. Moses said to God, "Now show me your glory." And God answered, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name in your presence." And in the Hebrew original text, we read God's name. And it is written with four letters, which we pronounce as Yahweh, but since God's holy name is never pronounced by Jews or Christians, we say Lord. So every time we find God's name in the Bible, we don't read His name, we read the Lord or my Lord. And then God says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, but you cannot see my face. For no one may see me and live." And then God said to Moses, "There's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Well, Moses, as we know, had a close relationship to God. God ordered him to lead his people out of Egypt. God ordered Moses to free the people from slavery, to cross the Red Sea into the desert of Sinai. God led the Israelites through the desert and entrusted Moses with the Ten Commandments. And after having obeyed and trusted God for such a long time, Moses comes to God and has a special request. He wants to see God. He wants God to become visible. He wants God to show him his glory. One of the reasons is that Moses wants to show the people what God looks like. He has been telling the people of Israel about God and what God wants from them and how God is leading them through the desert, but they are not convinced. How can you believe something that you cannot see? So the people start disobeying orders. They disobey their leader, Moses. They don't trust him. They disobey God's commandments. They don't believe that God is really with them. They complain and they turn to other gods, visible gods like the golden calf and the gods they had in Egypt, gods of metal or wood or gold, little statues that you can carry with you. Moses prays to God and says, "Show me your glory. Show yourself. Show how powerful and glorious you are." And then God's answer is not quite what Moses expects. God does not show his glory. God does not show himself, but what God shows is his goodness. And we read, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you." Not God himself, but all the good things that come from God can be seen. And God says, "I will proclaim my name in your presence." And this means that we can pray and speak to God, and we can call God our Lord, our Father in heaven, just as Jesus taught us to call God our Father. And God says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So this story tells us how God, tells us how God reveals himself to Moses, not visibly, not directly, not as Moses or the people of Israel would have wished God to show himself, but in the way we, even today, discover God in our own lives through all the good things that we receive. The goodness of God that makes all these things happen. And we discover God through his mercy and his compassion. And this story ends with the words, "You will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Now, these words may sound mysterious, but I think they are, in fact, quite simple to understand. Not in advance do we see what God does or what is God's will. We don't know the future. We don't know what God has in store for us, what will happen tomorrow or next week or a year from now. "You will see my back," says the Lord. At the end of the day, at the end maybe of our life, we will know where God was. We will discover the many ways in which God influenced our life. How God was close to us, even in moments where we thought there is no God. We might have thought that God was absent, but in hindsight, we discover God's footprints. In hindsight, we discover how a miracle changed our life, how the invisible God was present in so many ways. What seems difficult to comprehend is actually not so difficult if we think of all the invisible forces around us and even within us. Let's take electricity as an example. No one sees electricity. And yet we know that it exists. Over the last 200 years, and that's not a terribly long time, humans have learned to use this invisible energy. Scientists have discovered how to produce electricity and how to measure it and how to make it work for us in many thousands of applications. So what was hidden to us for so long is now familiar to everyone, but still invisible. And aren't we familiar with other invisible forces such as the power of love, or the power of hope, or even what we call our soul? We don't see them, and yet we know they are real. They can change our lives. They can even change the course of history. The power of love can be felt, but cannot be measured in meters or weighed in pounds or grams. The power of hope is so mighty that it can overcome the greatest obstacles. And the power of faith, as the Bible says, can even move mountains. This also applies to the God of Moses, who is mighty and reveals himself in our everyday life, as in the course of history. God lets his goodness pass before the eyes of Moses. What was hidden from our eyes becomes evident in hindsight. This is also how God reveals himself in Jesus Christ. After Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, his disciples began to understand who he was, and that Christ is still present in their lives. In the Gospel of Luke, we read how Jesus appears to his disciples on the road to Emmaus and talks to them and even eats with them at the table. And we read that only then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight again. This is the way we discover God, mostly by looking back at the end of each day, or at the end of a week. This is how we can see God's goodness passing before our inner eye, see all the blessings that we have received, and discover the traces of God's mercy and compassion throughout our lifetime. Amen.